Hi, good morning. Is this on? This is good. Good morning. It's great to be with you. And Rochelle and I have really enjoyed being with you this weekend. We've been staying with Dan and Rebecca and Tressa and Reese and all their animals. And it's been amazing to see all of that and to spend time with them. They've looked after us really well. And we've been converted to kombucha. That strange drink, you know, slightly strange. You know that drink, the bacterial kind of thing that you drink, and they've shown us how to make that, and so we're going to start our own kind of bacterial colony in Trail and grow this drink. And so grateful to them showing us this new thing. You can ask them about it. If you've got no clue what that is, just ask them, and they will give you a lesson in that drink. But it's been good to stay with them, and even their pet parrot liked me more than Dan, and so I was very grateful for that. Came on my shoulder, but it wouldn't go near Dan, so I felt welcomed even by the parrot. It's been good, and we just feel a growing connection with Vernon Church over this last. Years, and obviously with having Charlie and Judy come through, but having quite a few of you actually come through, people like Susan and Dave and Alice have come through, Ray and Marianne, Jerry and Susan have come through, obviously with Henny and Nathan there, and Rob and Clara. And we've had Matt and Michelle come through, and we've had a whole various crew of you come through, and it feels like there's this increased joining of what God wants to do with us and how he wants to reach this region, not just our own little individual church, but this region for his glory. And we had a great men's hike when Rick was there and Mel was there and a whole bunch of you were there, and just a great time kind of connecting as men together and seeing that waterfall near New Denver. And it just felt really good. It felt like there's more connection, and it's felt like that this weekend, just to be around and be talking with some of you, and it's been fantastic. So thank you for welcoming us. We've come with I'll tell you who we've come with. They're not all sitting here, but we left two of our children at home. So we left Caleb, our 8-year-old, at home with some friends. And Bethany, our 5-year-old, is at home with some friends. But we brought Caitlin and Hannah. Caitlin, do you want to put up your hand? Put up your hand. And Hannah's out there somewhere looking after our youngest one, Taya, who's 2 years old. And we brought our adopted daughter for the weekend, Maria. Here's one of our friends that's come with us. And it's been a great time together and getting to know you guys. So been really good. Over the weekend, we've talked in discussions and time together a bit about how to be family on mission together. That this thing that God has got for us to be reaching out and touching people. How do we do that together? How do we do that also with young families? You know, it's one of the things when we planted the church in Warfield, like, how do we do this with all these kids? How are we going to make this happen? And God's kind of led us on a journey with that. But I want to look at a passage of scripture today that I believe is foundations for us of that will enable us to be a people that reach out. And they're key things, and they're probably painfully obvious things, but they're things that we need to keep reminding ourselves and stirring up and coming back to and say, are we committed to these things? Are we giving our life to these things? And I want to read a passage from Acts, so you can kind of get ready in Acts chapter 4. And I know it's probably a passage that you know well, and you know the book of Acts well. And we've been going through it as a church a little bit. And just to give you a little bit of introduction to Acts, you know, it's written by Dr. Luke. And you know, in your Bible, it might have the title Acts, or it might have the title The Acts of the Apostles. Or some people have said it should be called The Acts of the Holy Spirit. And none of those really fully sum up what it's really about. And John Stott, who is a pastor in England, kind of helpful with this. I changed the ending a little bit, but he came up with what we should call this book. And he said, I've kind of changed it a little bit, but the continuing words and deeds of Jesus by his Spirit through his church. Continuing words and deeds of Jesus by his Spirit through his church. Because Luke starts off and says, in my former book, O Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach, implying that the Acts is just a continuation of what Jesus is doing and teaching. And it's not a kind of tag team thing where Jesus, you know, goes to the cross and he does his work and he ascends to heaven and he says, whew, done my work. Come on, Holy Spirit, tag, you're in and you go and do your work and I'll take a break up here. No, Jesus is in control. And he's ruling and he's reigning and he's working out his plans through by his Holy Spirit in his church, in his people infused with his Spirit, connected to the head, continuing his work and his purpose. The work of Jesus, it's the plan of the Father through the Holy Spirit in his church. Which means, you know, that Acts doesn't really conclude itself at all, really. It just kind of leaves you hanging. Which means this work is going on. And it's gone on and on and on. And it means that we are part of it. We are his people, infused by his Holy Spirit, carrying out the work of Jesus on the earth. Amen? And that's why it's exciting that you're talking about Alpha. This is the continuation of God's work through his people, by the Holy Spirit. And this is what Acts is about. And just before Acts chapter 4, you know the story. The Holy Spirit comes and the church is born. And 3,000 people added that day. And just amazing things are taking place. Amazing oneness, amazing life together. And then Peter and John heal the lame man. He's been, I think it's 40 years, lame from birth. Who's 40 years? Who's roughly 40 years old here? Dan, you make it still in there. Matt, yeah. Brian, still in there. Roughly 40 years old. 40 years of being lame and begging. And Peter and John come along, and in an instant, this man is healed. And you know there's great rejoicing and there's great celebration. You would have thought that it would be entirely that. But Peter and John get themselves into a lot of trouble because they're speaking in the name of Jesus. And they get arrested and threatened and eventually released. And I'm going to speak these words from the ESV, from chapter 4 in Acts and 23 to 31. When they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and elders had said to them. And when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. For truly in this city they were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness while you stretch out your hand to heal. And miraculous signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place that they were in which they were gathered together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they continued to speak the word of God with boldness. So they had been experiencing life together. They'd been experiencing just amazing time in God together. People being born again. And I think after they healed the lame man, another 2,000 were added. So it's like 5,000. I mean, that's pretty good, isn't it? I mean, all those people within a short period of time, you'd have to blow the walls down of this building and meet in the open air or build a stadium or something to contain what was going on. And they'd experienced massive life together and blessing. And all of a sudden, boom, there was confrontation and added into the mix. I don't know whether you've ever been like that in your life where you've been going along. Things have been good. Things have been going really good. And then all of a sudden, boom, confrontation. Or Charlie Whitley would say, kaboom. Not just boom, kaboom. And you meet confrontation in your path. And to be honest, that's kind of what we've been experiencing the last kind of 6 months to a year in Trail and in Warfield. If you're confused by Trail and Warfield, Warfield is a little village on the outskirts of Trail. So we use Trail and Warfield in the same way. But just a period of time, especially in the last 6 months, of just feeling this confrontation. And people that we've been reaching out to, people that were coming from work and were coming along, just kind of drifting away. A couple of our friends who've been part of our home group and part of the life, and then at the end of last year kind of said, well, yeah, we're kind of, our schedule looks a bit too busy this year, you know, and just kind of feeling, disappointment of people kind of backing away a little bit. And then people that have felt knit into the church, a few people like that backing away and feeling like, what's going on here? Why is this happening? And even thinking like, you know, we've been working for 7 years. Have we worked hard just to see this slip away? And is there something built together, or is it just, you know, we've been struggling with some of those thoughts, and we've had times where, you know, people that have drawn back, and we've had times where maybe something's been said or spoken, and we've had times where we've had to daily or sometimes hourly make a choice to forgive and to go to the Lord and say, you've got to help me with this, and to get rid of, like, I'm not going to, you know, have offense take place in my heart, and I want to forgive and walk through. So that's been a little bit, I don't say those things so you can say, oh, so you can feel sorry for us. And because I say this to say, we're in a battle. Yeah. We're in a battle, and I know you've got your own battles and things that you're facing. It could be health, it could be finances, it could be, you know, discouragements. You know, it's interesting, Marianne brought that word about part of those things are discouragements that can clog up the river of life. And the question is, when the battle's on, how will we respond? What will we do? And sometimes we can lose the reality that there's a battle at all. But there's a battle on for the lives and souls of people around us. And sometimes we're blissfully unaware of that, but if we're unaware, then the enemy's got us right where he wants us. Because if we're unaware, then We're not awake to the thing that we're in, the purpose that God has for us. So when we're facing a battle and a challenge, what are we going to do? And I, last time I was here, I told a brief story, and some of you might have remember it, of a friend of ours that came to stay, and she suffers with intense insomnia, not being able to sleep at night. And usually she'll get maybe a couple of hours of sleep. If it's really good, maybe 2, 3, or 4, or 5 hours sleep. And she came to our house. I thought, this is our house. You know, we're going to pray for her. So we prayed for her, and she came down. Her husband came up the next morning, and I said, so how did Amy sleep? How did she sleep? And he said, she didn't sleep a wink. Not a wink, not a bit. And I went into the shower, and I was just kind of struggling with this, and just felt God say, so are you just going to stay disappointed, or are you going to be somebody who keeps on asking? I said, I want to be somebody who keeps on asking. Keeps on asking. And we prayed for her again that night. Said, come on, Lord. And she got up the next morning, came up, and said, how did you sleep? And she said, I slept 6 hours. And this is unheard of for her, like maybe 5 hours at best, and especially not when she's somewhere else, in somebody else's house. She said, I slept 6 hours, best sleep I've had for however long. You know, I was like, yes, but it brings up this issue. What are we going to do when we're facing discouragement or we're facing a battle? What are we going to do then? And this is what they did in this passage. Okay, this is what we're going to look at. This is what they did. The pressure's on. They heal a man. And instead of great rejoicing throughout, they get arrested and threatened. And I love this bit. It says, when they were released, they went to their friends. It's the first time friends is used in Acts. And it means the church. It's their church community. But it's their friend. This is the body of God. And Peter kind of had that word. And part of it was about, we're put together. We're put together in a body. God's put us together to share our lives together. Where do we go when the pressure's on? Do you hide away? Keep it to ourselves? Or do we go to the provision that God's made for us, to our friends, to our community, to the gift that he's given? He's given you one another. And these people, they went straight to their friends. And they told them what had happened. But then they did something else. They went to their friends, number one. Number two, they turned to prayer. They didn't spend a lot of time complaining and grumbling and moaning and just bewailing the situation that they were in. They shared it, and then they lifted their voices together to God. With their friends, they lifted together their voices to God. What do we do when we're facing the battle? Well, sometimes Rochelle and I will think, oh, let's just watch a show. You know, let's just smother the tension of what we're in. Just get away from it for a while. Or sometimes I'll go for that extra bowl of cornflakes with cranberries and coconut and brown sugar on the top. And just think, I just deserve this. Or an ice cream. You know, I deserve, I've been going through a hard time. I deserve an ice cream just to kind of make me feel better. Sometimes we do that. But sometimes, and with, I think, an increasing regularity, we've turned together to prayer. And be, amen? it's the only place that we can go right now. It's either this or we're going down the tube together in despair. And we've had times where we've turned together and into prayer, and also with our group of elders and wives and friends that we trust. We've got together and we've prayed and we've shared, but we've prayed. And we sought God. And whenever we've made that choice, whenever we push into prayer, God gives us his perspective. and he gives us his viewpoint, and the burden is lifted. I remember going to a prayer meeting, an early morning prayer meeting one morning, and it turned out that this one, I was the only one there. And I went there, and I was really feeling heavy with some of the situations that were going on. But then I met with God in prayer. Something changed. And when I came back, I was bounding up the stairs with joy. That's something that only God can do. Only God can turn our heaviness. And when we go to him in prayer, he turns the situation around. And I had this joy. He gives us his viewpoint, his perspective on what he's doing. Psalm 62 says, "Trust him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him." God is a refuge for us. And we've turned to God in prayer and seen God answering prayers. Part of what I do is I work at the hospital in the Emerge as a nurse. And some of the people in the hospital are quite cynical towards what I do. And knowing that I'm a pastor and knowing what I'm... There's one doctor in particular that likes to make these, you know, comments every now and again. And often, I don't know if you might be like me, some people are really sharp at knowing what to say in the moment. They just have this great word. I'm the kind of guy who thinks about it afterwards and thinks, oh, I should have said this. Oh, if only I'd said that. And in the moment, I'm just like, oh, I don't know really what to say in this situation. And I came back one day discouraged by something that this doctor had said, and I shared it with Rochelle. I can't remember whether Rochelle and I prayed about it, but she went to a women's prayer night that night. So we've got to pray for this doctor. We've got to pray for this situation. And they prayed, and they lifted their voices together to God. And within a couple of days, I had a chance at work. It just happened by God's grace, by God's enabling. A conversation came up with the same doctor. And I can't remember all the conversation, but I was able to share some of the grace of God with him. You know, he's got this, he's actually afraid. He actually makes these comments, but he's afraid to set foot in a church in case he's struck by lightning. You know, he'll even say that. And I was able to share with him the grace of God. That we don't come to him perfect. We come to him imperfect. He works in us. He's gracious with us. We don't have to be perfect. And it was just an opportunity to share with him. And, you know, shared it with Rochelle afterwards and felt really encouraged. And she went back to her friends and said, we had an answer to prayer this week. A direct answer to prayer that God met us. So these people, Peter and John and the early believers, they turned together to prayer. And they declared who God was. They declared, you're the sovereign Lord who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. They declare who he is. He's in control. And that's who we come to in prayer. That's who we come to, a God who's in control. And we put our trust in his sovereignty. And we put our trust in the fact that he is in control and that he is overall, and he's either orchestrated our situations or he's allowed it. But he's in control. He hasn't been taken off guard. You know, we've had some struggles in our church where some people are getting counseling where they say, God's not actually in control. He's actually handcuffed himself, and it's our job to get on with the work. But that's not the story of Acts. Jesus is in control. And by his Holy Spirit, through his church, as we take hold of that and rise up in our responsibility that he's given us, we become that people of God who are on the move with God, but directed by God and empowered by God. And they had a big view of God. They said, you're the sovereign Lord. And they even said, you know, in this city, for truly in the city they were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate and the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. This is their view of God. That God, even the things that are negative, even the things that put Christ to death, are working unwittingly the purposes of God. And whatever we're facing, if we go to God in prayer, he is actually working those things out for the glory of God and for our benefit. And they had this big view. And this is the word of God. This is the truth of God. And this makes praying really worth it. Because we don't come to a God who can't do anything. We come to a God who's in control and wants to partner with us. I know that you guys are a praying church. I know you've devoted one of your sermons, you know, once a month to teaching on prayer. And you pray before the service and you have other prayer meetings. And God's calling us to be a people of prayer, to gather with our friends, to lift up, to focus on who God is, to declare him. So they declared in prayer who God was, and they asked for an extension. They asked, they said, well, you stretch out your hand. They actually asked for boldness for themselves. It's interesting, they didn't pray, Lord, like some of my prayers, please take me out of this horrible situation that we're facing. They actually prayed for boldness to proclaim the word of God. And they prayed for an extension. Stretch out your hand, Lord. Stretch out your hand to heal. They said, look upon their threats. Give us boldness. Stretch out your hand. It's almost like they're commanding God in prayer. You know, if you've read any of Daryl Johnson's stuff on the Lord's Prayer, it's powerful. But he actually says those statements where we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done. It's actually in the Greek, it's actually more of a command to God. It's saying, bring your kingdom come, your will be done. It's actually, it's a forceful thing. That God's given us this gift to pray to him, to command, come on, bring it down here. Bring it down into our situations. It's almost like they're doing this with this prayer. Stretch out your hand to heal. Stretch out your hand. Bring it into this situation. And a few weeks ago, we had a really cool event in our church, or just in our meeting. I didn't try and encourage people to pray out. It was in our worship. Pray out our hearts to God. And to be honest, it was one of those times where there wasn't a lot of response. There was a couple of little prayers. They were okay, but weren't really getting where I thought we should be going. And then one of the older gentlemen in our church just prays out this heart-wrenching prayer of how great God was. It actually reminded me a bit of how Rachel prayed out today. You know, she's declaring the greatness of God and how small we are. And how amazing it is that God would think upon us. And it was just this beautiful prayer. It broke through, you know. It broke through the atmosphere. And one of the elders, Don, got up. He was leading the meeting afterwards. He said, thank you, Rudy, for praying that prayer. You know, he said, I felt like I prayed this little prayer. God, come into my problems. But you prayed this big prayer. Of not come into my problems, but bring me into your greatness. You know, and it just broke the atmosphere. You bring me into your greatness. And they had this view and this powerful view of who God is. And for me, this phrase, stretch out your hand, has been powerful to me. It's just been living in me in prayer. Just stretch out your hand, God, to heal the situation. We've had friends that have been sick with all sorts of situations, been praying, stretch out your hand to heal. And miraculous signs and wonders. And they asked for an extension. And that's what God's calling us to do, to be a people of prayer. We gather with our friends. We go to prayer. We declare who he is. And we're asking for an extension of his kingdom. We're asking for an extension for Vernon Christian Fellowship with Alpha. We're asking that God would stretch out his hand. Stretch out your hand, Lord, to these people around us. Stretch out your hand. Do something. Give us boldness. And another part of that story that when I had that conversation with that doctor, I didn't have the words to say. Rochelle felt that verse about Paul praying for boldness. You know, said, "Pray for me that I might have boldness to proclaim the word of God as I ought to." It's kind of encouraging that Paul needed to ask for prayer for that, isn't it? He said, "Pray for me that I might have boldness so I can proclaim it, I can speak the way I should." And that's part of what Rochelle was praying for me, for this, with this doctor. We pray for boldness, and they pray for boldness to speak, and we're praying for boldness for you with Alpha. Just to go, you know, I love it on the video, it said, "Yeah, I asked her, I didn't think she would come, but she did." Rochelle and I, we've got a couple of in our neighborhood that we're going to ask to come to Alpha, and we said the other night, we said, "I don't think they'll come," but it's like, oh, where's our faith? But God can do anything, and when we step out, even with that little bit of boldness, he's going to give us boldness, and he's going to surprise us. And we're praying for an extension of God's kingdom. We're in a battle, and we're not hiding away. We're not kind of running away. We're asking for an extension. And recently, as we've been praying for this extension, I had this one day where I just kind of thanking God for the attacks of the enemy. It might sound a bit strange, but I was thanking him for the attacks of the enemy because it brings a plethora of fruitfulness in our lives. And I just felt to read these words from my journal where I was praying for this. Hang on a sec. Yeah. So we're in this battle, but we're praying for an extension. Today I found myself in this season of attack and pressure, thanking God for the works of the enemy. His work pushes us into God, a deeper reliance on the Holy Spirit, a deeper longing for the manifestation of his power and work, deeper levels of prayer and intimacy, new songs to be written. It causes a greater desire for relationship and a deep relational reality. It pushes us into truth. It causes us to preach with clarity. It gives us greater passion for the church. It causes us to cease being casual Christian living, but to learn to stand and fight. It causes us to be desperate and hungry for a move of God. It defeats complacency and stirs us to battle. It makes our arms stronger for the battles of the future. It makes us more certain of the purpose and plan of God. It pushes us into one another in new ways. It causes us to appreciate the wider body and the gifts that God has given us. It causes the vision of what we are after to be clarified and honed. It causes his refining work to be done in us, to challenge wrong attitudes and works the very nature and love of the great shepherd in us. It brings about a multitude of fruitfulness. What a gift these things are to us, accomplishing unwittingly the very plans and purposes of God. I pray not that the enemy would be cut off and retreat, but that we would overcome in every intention and plan of the enemy with an increased dependence on the power and presence of God. These works are actually bringing about, if we go to these places, if we go to our friends, if we go to prayer, they're actually turned around. The enemy overplays his hand and work out the purposes of God in us and great fruitfulness in us. So they went to their friends, they went to prayer, and they received the Holy Spirit. A It says, and they were all, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they continued to speak the word of God with boldness. They had an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, an encounter, a fresh filling, a boldness, a direct answer to their prayer. I felt this encouragement to us. We can push in for more of the Holy Spirit in our lives. He is the one that reveals God to us. He works God's purpose into us. He is the presence of God in us. He's the Spirit of Christ in us. He's the one that joins us together. He's the one that is on outreach. He's the one that has power. He's the one that will touch people's lives. He's the one that will fill people. And he's filled his church, and we can ask for more. And just like Marianne was saying, that river can become clogged by all sorts of disappointments and things that come in. But the Holy Spirit is available to us, and we can pray for one another for more of the Holy Spirit. We are completely reliant on the Holy Spirit. Nothing will take place without the Holy Spirit at work in and through us of any value. And we can ask for more of the Holy Spirit. And we can press in both corporately, and we can press in both individually, and welcome the Holy Spirit into our lives and ask for more. And in prayer and in the gift of tongues, and we can expand our capacity for God, this gift that God's given us in prayer, that we can receive more and more of what he has for us. And that's what they experienced. They experienced the pouring out of the Holy Spirit that met their needs and led them out. And we need that. And God's inviting us, come to me. Come and receive from me. And there's this Holy Spirit available for us this morning, tomorrow, in the coming weeks. There's more and more and more. And you know as well as I do, we're vessels that leak. And we need it. We need a constant asking, Lord, fill me afresh. Fill me anew. The cares of this world dry us out. They drain us. Lord, we need a fresh filling. Lord, give us boldness. But the heart of these people was for an extension. Give us boldness. Meet with us so that there might be an extension of your kingdom. It wasn't a self-centered, make me feel good, help my life. You know, I want to know you more. It was this, we're after an extension of the kingdom amongst us. And that led to an increase. So they went to their friends. They went to prayer. They declared who he was. They asked for an extension. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. If you read the next chapters and the next verses in Acts, it led to an increase. In fact, in the next chapter, it says that people were being added so much, they lost count. It was a multitude of men and women who were coming and finding faith in God. It led to an increase. So what are we going to do? When the battle's on, which it is, whether you realize it or not, what are we going to do? Where are we going to go? What are we going to pray? What are we going to receive? We're going to go to our friends, going to turn to prayer, going to rely on the Holy Spirit, resulting in a people who proclaim him. And we're praying for Vernon, that this Alpha initiative will bring an increase. But it's got to be birthed in prayer. I know you know that. And it's got to be birthed in coming together, praying together, asking God. And if there's a need for boldness, taking that sign and putting it on your front lawn, it's an act of boldness. It's saying who you are. showing who you are. And some of us are not comfortable with that. But if we ask God, give me boldness, even to put this thing on my lawn, so I'm declaring who I'm with, taking a step and asking for God to break in amongst us. And I think it would be great just to offer ourselves to God and to respond somewhere. I'm going to leave this bit to Charlie to kind of lead us. But I want to have an opportunity to respond to what God's saying. What are we going to do? It's a question I want to leave with you.